Hi, you're listening to the October 2011 Vocation Cast.
And coming up in this month's episode...
It was an amazing experience to walk with four women who were on a journey.
There was a number of bishops coming out of the cathedral, and the Pope's quite small, so I was looking around, and then all of a sudden we saw a hat, and it sort of dawned on me that I'd have to speak.
A project which took a tremendous amount of work, a tremendous amount of energy, and something that I am really pleased I did, but you could not pay me £1 million to do it again.
And afterwards, he was really gracious in the way he embraced me and gave me a blessing and asked me about myself and showed that he really cared. And then he said he'd pray for me. Got the Pope praying for me. Not bad.
Hi, I'm Frankie Mulgrew from the Diocese of Salford.
And my name is Daniel Fitzpatrick, and I'm from the Diocese of Hexham and Newcastle. And we're both seminarians.
Yes, indeedy. And you've just been listening to Pascal Uche and Sister Gabriel Davison.
Yeah, people may remember Pascal Uche. He was the one who introduced the young people of the UK to the Pope on the steps of Westminster Cathedral last year during the papal visit to the UK. And Sister Gabriel Davison, you may remember her from the BBC TV series The Convent, which aired a few years ago. We spoke to her, and they're both coming up later on in the episode.
And if this is your first time listening to Vocation Cast, let us give you a quick recap. Basically, this internet radio show is to help facilitate you to discern your own vocation in the life of God's church. So the Catholic Church teaches that there's four vocations in which we're called to: priesthood, religious life, married life, and the single life, enabling God's people, us as individuals, to step up to the plate and to be heroes of the faith, or in the words of JP2, saints of the new millennium.
Yeah, and we're also going to look at how you can live out those vocations. We are each called to one of those vocations by God, but we're also called to live it out in a unique way. That may be through a certain profession or a certain way to live your life, a certain way to be involved with ministry. So we're going to look at those as well.
First up, let's bring him out here. It's Pascal Uche.
Yeah, for those unfamiliar with who Pascal Uche is, he is a young man from London, and he welcomed the Pope to the UK last year on behalf of all of the young people in the UK. Just to give you a bit more background about that event, what actually happened, we have Patrick Milner, who is a first-year seminarian for the Diocese of Leeds, and also some other young Catholics who watched Pascal welcome the Pope in person and on TV.
Hi, I'm Patrick Milner, and I'm a seminarian for the Diocese of Leeds. The day that the Holy Father celebrated Mass in Westminster Cathedral, I was fortunate enough to actually be inside the cathedral itself. After communion, when the Holy Father went to the back of the cathedral, we saw hundreds of young people in the piazza there outside, and the noise was overwhelming, the shouts and the cries of support. And one young man stepped forward, Pascal, of course, and he spoke to the Holy Father on behalf of the young people gathered there.
My name is Pascal Uche, and I am from St. Francis Parish in East London. Gathered here today are 2,500 young people representing almost every parish in the country.
And it was fascinating to think that at the centre of this entire state visit, with all these dignitaries and all these events and all the security and everything, the focus for a particular moment was on the Holy Father speaking to a single Catholic. If you like, heart speaks to heart. It was very evident in that moment. I'm sure it was very moving for Pascal. I think he did an absolutely superb job of representing all the Catholics of England and Wales. He mixed that humour, sincerity. You could tell he was excited, as anyone would be, I suppose. Erudite, articulate. You couldn't really have asked for much more. I think you'd struggle to find someone who watched that, whether Catholic or not, who wasn't smiling as they were watching it. He really warmed everyone's heart. It was remarkable, really.
It is our prayer that your visit inspires us to be saints of the third millennium.
We were watching on the TV, and as soon as Pascal came up on the screen, everyone just almost stopped working and just watched this young, vibrant man.
Definitely thought he was a great role model of the young people and the perfect person to represent us as the youth in this country.
The first thing I remember, really, and the first thing I was captivated by was his smile. That just sort of like blew me away a little bit. That's the image of the church right there.
He's the perfect person for keeping the momentum of the papal visit going.
So we're joined now by Pascal Uche. Pascal, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Pascal, very exciting news. The other day, driving test. Yeah, announced to the nation what happened at your driving test.
I passed the driving test.
Good man, Pascal. Yeah. It's all good.
Only okay. 2 minors, so.
Question. Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say that I got 13 minors at my driving test.
But you passed?
Yeah. Hold one on. More minor, and that would have been it. Probably shouldn't be safe to drive on the road, really. Great. So, we're joined by Pascal. A lot of people will remember Pascal from the steps outside of Westminster Cathedral. When the Pope visited the UK in 2010, Pascal addressed the Pope and introduced the young people of the UK. Pascal, we all seen you on the news that day. How did you come to be on the steps of Westminster talking to the Pope?
I can go back to when I was about 15. My head teacher brought in a mission team to the school. And I just wanted to miss a day of school, so I was happy to go to it. And at the end of it, there was a penitential service. And there was something on my heart I just wanted to get off. You know, I wasn't expecting to experience anything. I just wanted to get this particular thing off my chest. And then during the confessional, I experienced something greater than what I expected. And I really felt God's forgiveness. And I came out of it just with a resolve to live a better life. So that got me involved in being with the youth and different things. And I was really fortunate to be asked to do this in terms of to welcome the Pope on behalf of young people. And when people ask me, why was I chosen? I would often say it's because God really loves me. I'm a great person. But no, on a serious note, there was a priest who sat me down and said, the reason that you got it is because you said yes. You said yes to being part of your youth group. You said yes to speaking to a confirmation group. And all those yeses opened up to this opportunity, which was amazing. So I think it was a series of yeses, responding to God's generous love.
And Pascal, what was it like to meet the Holy Father, to be that close to him, and to, because he actually embraced you, didn't he, spontaneously after, you know, you welcomed him?
Security-wise, we were told that all I should do is bow and then step back, so I wasn't expecting that. What it was like to meet the Pope, there was a number of bishops coming out of the cathedral, and the Pope's quite small, so I was looking around, and then all of a sudden we saw a hat, and it sort of dawned on me that I'd have to speak. And what was more important then wasn't sort of getting carried away with being there, but trying to get on with what I was called to do. And that was to sort of speak on behalf of the young people. It was really a surreal, magical event to be able to do that. And afterwards, he was really gracious in the way he embraced me and gave me a blessing and asked me about myself and showed that he really cared. And then he said he'd pray for me. And so that was powerful as well. Got the Pope praying for me. Not bad.
Fantastic. Did he mention me at Danantol? Did he say how's Dan, how's Frankie?
No.
We read in the Acts of the Apostles that people who needed healing would put themselves in the shadow of St. Peter as he walked past and were healed.
Hey, where's this going?
You stood in the shadow of St. Peter, St. Peter's successor, Pope Benedict XVI.
Essentially.
How's your life been since?
It's a great moment of grace, one that I think is being unveiled just all the time. Specifically, I think I have a deeper union now with God and with the church. I really feel a great surrender to God through his church, ready to do, or hopefully ready to do what he calls me to. It's changed me greatly on the outside in terms of being able to do things, but interiorly, I've got a much deeper prayer life now, and hopefully I'm learning day by day to see God in all things.
Pascal Uche, thank you very much for joining us on the Vocation Cast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So yeah, big thank you and heads up to Pascal there. And yeah, most recently, within the last year, Pascal's become a chum, and he's just he's a really nice guy. You know, what you see is what you get, really. He's a real true gent.
Yeah, and if you enjoyed that interview and you want to hear Pascal speak, he's going to be speaking at the UK National Youth Congress, which is called FLAME. That's going to be in 2012 on March the 24th at Wembley Arena in London. And for some more information about that, you can go to www.cymfed.org. And you can see the other speakers are going to be there as well. There's some fantastic speakers there. Thank you for all of the messages you sent us with through email and your tweets on Twitter and your messages on Facebook. Just to let you know that we are out there on Twitter, on Facebook, by email. And if you want to know how to get in touch via those, then please visit our website. Our website is www.vocationcast.org. Go on there, we've got all the interviews on there, all the episodes, lots of resources and links. Get yourself on there. Yeah, this is the October 2011 Vocation Cast. It's the second Vocation Cast we've done. First one was in September, 1 month ago, so we've been up and running. Vocation Cast has been out there, launched for 1 whole month.
Yes, indeed. And we launched it in London. For Big Smoke, and it's been going really well. I've had lots of great positive feedback.
Lots of feedback. In fact, the feedback's been so good that a radio station in South Africa, Radio Veritas, is airing the show. So if you're listening in South Africa, then hello.
Big hello, big heads up. Thank you. Bless you.
Yeah, thank you for your tweets, your Facebook messages, your emails. They've been great. But we just wanted to pick one out, a question that we got on Twitter. By somebody who asked, how do I know if a vocation is right for me? I want to either be a doctor or do something with Spanish. Can I incorporate my faith into either of those careers? And how? Frankie.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I'm struck by the words of Saint Therese. I'm going to go to a doctor, get some heads up from a doctor of a church. Saint Therese, who near the end of her life, she was very ill, but she said the words, at last I find my vocation. And my vocation is love. And I think it's almost like as we grow in intimacy and relationship with God through prayer, we naturally become holy. We're invited to become holy people in whatever walk of life that leads us. We're asked to kind of love almost as if God loves, to be his representative on this earth. And then that has many ways to live that out.
Yeah, and you said, how do I know if a vocation is right for me? Well, a vocation is right for you because everybody has a vocation. As we said at the top of the show, there's four vocations. The vocation to priesthood, vocation to religious life, the vocation to married life, and the vocation to single life. God is calling you to one of those vocations. And then how you live that out, if you want to be a doctor or if you want to do something with Spanish, is entirely up to you. God's going to be leading you, listening to what he's saying. But as Frankie said, and as St. Therese of Lisieux said, our call is to holiness.
If we're a doctor, we're the holiest doctor we can be. If we're a teacher, we're the holiest teacher we can be. You know, it's stepping up to the plate and being Christ-like to others.
Yeah, so we hope that helps. And if anybody else has any more questions, then please do get in touch with us and let us know.
And so now it's time to welcome once again Neil Peoples from the Nottingham Diocese with his own unique roundup of the Catholic Church around the world. Yay. Neil, and Neil,
hi,
you've
Neil.
Just been, how you doing, Neil? For anybody that is not familiar with you, because this is just your second time on the show. It's my second time as well, actually. But Neil, just say a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Neil, obviously, and I come from the city of Leicester.
Good work.
Which means I'm from the Nottingham Diocese, and I'm now starting my fifth year of training for the priesthood in the same year as yourself, Frankie.
No, you've just been swimming.
I have just been swimming, so I'm slightly out of breath, so I apologise for that. But
that's good. He's just minutes. Literally sat there in his trunks.
Yeah, dripping away.
I can't believe
dripping.
He's come in like that. And
It's a towel.
Dry yourself. Okay, what do you got for us, Neil?
Well, the first story that I have is about the new auxiliary bishop for the Archdiocese of Westminster. Bishop John Sherrington, who was ordained on the 14th of September, was the first bishop to be ordained since the papal visit. John Sherrington is I'm quite pleased for him for two reasons. One, he's a former priest for the Diocese of Nottingham, which is obviously a great thing.
You actually know him, don't you, Neil?
I do, because the poor man had to put up with me for 5 months on placement last year. I actually think...
Did you make or break him, Neil?
I don't want to claim any fame on this one. So I'm really delighted for him. He's a great guy who has taught at All Hallows in Dublin, Wanish, and done lots of work on ethic committees. And he also works with the Catholic Methodist board. So I'm sure Westminster have got themselves a great bishop and for the future. And who knows, he may go on to greater things than just an auxiliary in Westminster in the years to come. So fantastic. All the best to Bishop John.
Any more stories?
Now, on a more lighter note, we have a stage of Father Ted Meets Glee in Bristol.
Right, and just in case anybody doesn't know what Father Ted or Glee is, could you just briefly...
Well, Father Ted is a 90s programme that was based on free priests, mainly in Ireland, and it's a real comedy show, so it's not a great example of what priests are like, but it's a really good comedy, and I quite enjoy it. I think I've got the box set, so I'm a bit of a Father Ted fan. Whereas Glee is the huge American-selling programme with lots of singing and dancing and, you know...
Yeah, lots of high school.
Exactly, it's high school musical sort of feel to it. So in Bristol, they thought they put the two things together. So at Colston Hall, the clergy of the diocese got together and did a lot of singing and dancing to raise money for CAFOD in a thing called Clergy Review. So fair play to them, I think they raised loads of money. And if you want to see more pictures of it, you can see them on the Clifton Diocesan website. But they're the stories from this week.
Great, well thanks for coming in again.
Thank you, Neil. This month we celebrated the feast day of one of the church's most famous sons, St. Francis of Assisi. And in a short time, we have an interview coming up with Sister Gabriel, a current Parkland nun. So we thought it was very apt to have a reflection on Francis and Clare. And the music you'll hear is from the singer-songwriter Sarah McLachlan, picking up on the theme of Franciscan spirituality. Lord, make me
an instrument. My name is Henry Wisenat, and I'm a seminarian for the Diocese of East Anglia. A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 21. Jesus looked steadily at the man, and he was filled with love for him, and he said, "You need to do one thing more. Go and sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." St. Francis, born around 1181, was the son of a wealthy cloth merchant and lived a life of luxury and frivolity before trying his luck as a soldier. After a brief spell of imprisonment and recurring ill health, he gave up his military pursuits and sought God's will for his life. He said that he was married to Lady Poverty and associated himself with the lepers. He began to rebuild the local church of San Damiano's after praying before the crucifix one day and hearing the Lord ask him to rebuild my house which has fallen into ruin. St. Francis prayed before the crucifix, "Most high, glorious God, enlighten the darkness of my heart and give me, Lord, a correct faith, a certain hope, a perfect charity, sense and knowledge, so that I may carry out your holy and true command." Clare saw herself very much as carrying on the work of her spiritual father Francis, and called herself a little plant of our holy father Francis. St. Clare was born in 1194 and became a follower of St. Francis at the age of 18. On Palm Sunday, she had her hair cut off by Francis and was received into his life of gospel poverty. St. Francis said to the poor Clares, "Live always in the truth, that you may die in obedience. Do not look at the life outside, for that of the spirit is better." St. Francis always found time for prayer in the midst of his busy apostolate, and often experienced profound visions of God. St. Francis said to the order, "Hold back nothing of yourselves for yourselves, so that he who gives himself totally to you may receive you totally." So much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it's a given that we it's important that we are pardoned, and it's in dying that we are born. I absolutely love that phrase of St. Clare where she says, "Gaze
consider, contemplate, as you try to imitate.
I mean, I've got a big devotion myself. I'm a big fan of San Francisco. Obviously, my own namesake. I love that story about Francis when he was in prayer to God, and he said to God, he said, "Why did you choose me? Why did you pick me to carry out this plan, this purpose for me?" And he felt God to kind of say to him back, "Francis, if I could have found anybody more broken, anybody more weak or vulnerable, I would have, but I couldn't, so I chose you." And I love that story, really, you know, because it kind of proves about, you know, the saints, people like Francis, you know, and similar people like Catherine of Siena. It's almost like the holier they got, it's almost like the more they recognized their own brokenness. And so therefore they recognized the need of God, how much more they needed God in their life, you know, in order to sustain them and to give them the strength in order to carry out his purposes and plans for them.
And up next on Vocation Cast is an interview we did with Sister Gabriel Davison. And Sister Gabriel, she is a Poor Clare sister from the Poor Clare community in Arundel. You may remember her, you may recognise her, because she appeared as a major character on the BBC documentary The Convent, which followed four ordinary women spending 40 days and nights inside the Poor Clare convent in Arundel. And in this interview, she talks about that time with the BBC for their TV series. She talks about St. Francis and St. Clare, the Poor Clare Order, and she gives advice for women in discernment. We welcome Sister Gabriel Davison.
Thank you. I'm really pleased to be here.
A few years ago, there was a documentary on BBC called The Convent, which you were a part of. Some of our listeners may have seen that and seen you on that TV programme. Could you just tell us what that was like to be a part of that project?
It was an amazing experience, absolutely amazing experience, to walk with four women who were on a journey. And it was a privilege for us to be able to enable them to meet the person of Christ. Perhaps they would call that something else. They would call it love, call it God. But for me, it was a very exciting project, a project which took a tremendous amount of work, a tremendous amount of energy, and something that I am really pleased I did. But you could not pay me £1 million to do it again.
Could you just introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm a Poor Clare sister from the Diocese of Arundel in Brighton, and our monastery is based actually in Arundel. And I've been a Poor Clare now for 17 years. I am the novice mistress in our monastery, so that means that I work in formation and I train people who are interested in joining us. I do a lot of work in spiritual direction in accompanying people on their vocation journey, people who are discerning their vocation.
Could you just say a few words for anybody listening who may not be too familiar with the life of St. Clare of Assisi?
Clare was the first woman in the history of the church to write a rule for women. And the Poor Clares are very proud of that fact. And she was inspired by Francis. She saw Francis and she wanted to give her life to God in a similar way. And she left her family. She came from quite an aristocratic family. And she left everything to follow Christ. The Poor Clares are a contemplative order. We're an enclosed order, so usually when we enter a monastery, we stay there. And Clare began her life and lived her life at San Damiano in Assisi. And we still, to this day, we have the proto-monastery there, so there are a community of Poor Clare nuns living there now. So for the last over 800 years, the Poor Clare life has grown and flourished from this small place in Umbria. This year, the Poor Clares are celebrating their 800th centenary of their form of life.
The Poor Clares are an enclosed order. Mm-hmm. I remember a few years ago I visited some Poor Clares in Glasgow. They were all very excited because they would be given the opportunity to leave the convent. And some of the sisters hadn't left the convent in about 14 years, so they were all very giddy and excited. What's it like to live in an enclosed order? Is it difficult? And how do you deal with that?
I think that if you're called, whatever walk of life that you feel God is calling to has its own difficulties. Married life has its difficulties. The single life has its difficulties. The religious life has its difficulties. Because whatever you take yourself wherever you are, don't you? So therefore, living in community has its great joys and it also has its difficulties. And that's the same for everyone in every life situation. And I think, you know, sometimes people have this either romantic and idealized notion that you live inside a monastery and you live inside the enclosure walls and it's all bliss and it's all heaven. And to a certain extent, it's a small taste of heaven. And if it wasn't, then we wouldn't be there and we wouldn't be living there. But it also has its challenges and its struggles. But I live within the enclosure of my monastery because that's where I'm called to be. And I think that when you're called to it, you're given the grace to live it.
And what do you think the spirituality of St. Clare can offer a young person, maybe discerning a vocation to the consecrated life, or even just their own call to holiness?
We have a great wealth and tradition in the Franciscan family. When Francis heard the call of Christ, Christ called him from a cross, and we have the San Damiano cross. And Francis heard Christ say, "Go rebuild my church." And Saint, the great beauty of Clare is that she prayed before that cross every day for the whole of her life. And that cross nurtured her life of prayer. It taught her how to pray. And I think the essence, what part of the essence of the spirituality of Clare is that she gazed on her lover and Christ gazed back. And the whole spirituality is about enabling Christ to pour his love in to us so that we can then pour that out for the world. Francis and Clare, their spirituality was all about relationship. It's about being in relationship with everything, not only with my brother or my sister, but as many of you, I'm sure, are aware, the Canticle of Creation that Francis wrote, he called brother, son, sister, moon. It's that we're in relationship with everything, every living creature. And that's the same for Clare. Clare's whole spirituality is about living in relationship, and that primary relationship is with Christ.
Sister, for a young lady that might be listening to this podcast and discerning a vocation to the contemplative life, to a religious order, is there any advice, any tips that you could give them?
I think it's very important when you're discerning the call of Christ is that, you know, we're rooted in our humanity. And it's important that we make a personal contact. I think it sometimes can be very scary to take that step and go and visit a place. But I think it's really important because otherwise it stays in your head and you're not actualising something that is a desire within you, a longing. So I would encourage anyone who is discerning a vocation just even to visit a monastery and just talk to somebody about how they feel and where they're at. And then the Lord will work through that and take them on a journey and it'll be a great adventure. But we've got to concretize it in the reality of our life. And I think I would just say, be brave and step out, knowing that Christ is there waiting for you.
Sister Gabriel, thanks for being on the podcast.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. And for whoever is listening, I just encourage you to have the faith to follow Christ in whatever way the Lord is calling you, because it will bring you to the fullness of life and joy and happiness.
Massive thank you to Sister Gabriel there. Fantastic interview. Great words of wisdom. Really got a lot from that interview. And
yeah, you're going to be a Paul Clare, aren't you? Off he goes. He's in my habit, as we said. I was just talking here. I can see him. He's brown. Brown is your colour. Let me tell you something. No. I jest, but no, it was very inspiring interview.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it did make me think. But yeah. Oh man. Fantastic interview. If you want to know more about her order, where they are, you can go to their website, her convent's website, which is www.poorclairearundel.org. That's poorclairearundel.org. So, yeah, have a look. That's where the BBC series The Convent was also set. If you're listening, please get in touch. Let us know you're listening. It'd be great to hear from you, your comments, even just to say hello. And there's so many ways to get in touch: Facebook, Twitter, email, so much. If you want to know the details, go on to our website, www.vocationcast.org. Frankie.
It just remains for me to thank you for listening, but to plug for next episode, because in November, we'll be speaking to Father Robert Barron, the American priest, founder of Word on Fire Ministries.
Yeah, and if you haven't heard of him, he's a big name in America.
Yeah, so Google him, look him up, but we got an exclusive interview with him.
Yeah, that's all coming on the November edition of the podcast.
God bless you lots.
Bye.
Reach for the stars.